following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
How many of you guys know that God is good and that He's good all the time?
Yeah.
And I believe the Lord's got something for you today. I was thinking about this. How many of you guys watched the Super Bowl? How many of you guys watched the Super Bowl? Okay. How many, don't shout it out, how many remember who was in the Super Bowl? Okay, how about last year? Who remembers who was in the Super Bowl? How about the year before? It's funny how that works. You know, our nation gathers around this day. It's this huge celebration. And there's 115 million viewers watching the Super Bowl. It's one of the most watched events out of the entire year, Super Bowl Sunday. And you got 115 million people watching it. But although it's entertaining, and sports is fun, I love football, it's my favorite sport, when it's over, nothing really sticks with anybody. Nobody's really changed. No one even really remembers who was in the Super Bowl. And the day just comes and goes. So although it's a cool sport and all, it's a great championship day, Super Bowl Sunday isn't really that super in the scope of life and how we're changed and how we're affected and what we remember and how it shapes us. However, I want to talk to you today about Super Soul Sunday. Tell somebody next to you, Super Soul Sunday. Tell them. Super Soul Sunday. What makes a Super Soul Sunday? Here's the deal. There's 115 million viewers on Super Bowl Sunday, right? But in the church in America, there's about 115 million participants every single Sunday, which makes every Sunday, 52 weeks a year, a Super Soul Sunday. Because what we're going to see today is, unlike a Super Bowl, a lot of stuff changes. A lot of stuff changes on Super Soul Sunday. If in fact we're meeting with God, if we're getting into His Word, if we're really communing with Him, if we're doing what the early church did, there is so much power in a Sunday, and it can be a Super Soul Sunday. It can be super good for your soul, literally life-changing and transforming. Wikipedia documents a lot of statistics from a lot of research institutes that do research on church attendance. I want to talk to you today about this because Super Soul Sunday can only be a Super Soul Sunday if we do on a Sunday what God has us do on a Sunday. What God calls us into, what God invites us into historically and in His Word, where His Spirit is drawing us. If Sunday is the way God wants it to be, it can be epic. And if it's not, we miss out on a lot. Wiki says this: there's been extensive research linked to regular church attendance. This is Wikipedia. You can look it up. And there's a very clear correlation between church attendance and happiness. There's a correlation between, listen to this, decreased risk of Alzheimer's disease with church attendance. This is all documented statistical stuff. It protects against emotional mood problems. People who tend to get emotional have mood. Being settled in the house of God tends to position them and change their disposition. Why? Because it's not on the outside, it's God doing the work on the inside, right? So this is what church attendance does. This is according to documented scientific data. Protects against emotional mood swings. It creates patterns of lower blood pressure. People who attend church have lower blood pressure. They're actually in better health. It leads to better marriages, better family happiness, and longer life, okay? So for the sheer sake of just health reasons and emotional health reasons, church is good, and God designed Sundays to be that way. But we know that Sundays aren't just for your health. We know that God wants to do something super in our souls. And in fact, when God is doing something super in our souls, that's why there's an overflow effect into the life or the marriage or the family or the relationships or the health that there is. It's because it's not the outside in, it's the inside out. So what's Super Soul Sunday all about? Well, hashtag, you're here, so you're going to find out. Some people aren't, but this is what you're here today. You're here today on a day where it's daylight savings time, it was hard to wake up. But you got here today, and you're committed. But I want to encourage you, and when we see this unfold, you're going to see there's a trend in our country, there's a trend in our world of what people do with Sundays, what people do with the Sabbath. And it's changing, and it's not changing in a good way. But you have a lot to do that, because Jesus says that all of us are supposed to make disciples. Raise your hand if you know that. Raise your hand. We're all supposed to make disciples. So if you're a believer today, it's not just about you believing and following Jesus. Yes, that's great. It's also about you following Jesus and making disciples, helping other people along. You're here today on a Sunday, but you know many friends, you know in your heart, you know many friends who say they love Jesus, but they don't go to church anywhere. How many people have friends like that? How many? Come on. Okay, we're going to see that's such a disconnect with the heart of God today. And I think you need to lovingly, encouragingly come alongside them and say, hey, God's got a better way for you, and I want to show it to you. Like Paul said, let me show you a more excellent way. And it's turning your Sundays back into a super soul Sunday so that God can do radical things from the inside out. Things begin to change that way. And if you have friends that need to hear this, I want to encourage you through iTunes or through YouTube, forward the link to them of this message, because you know friends who say they believe in God. They might even say they have a love for God, and they're not part of any church anywhere. And they don't have to be part of this church, but they need to find a Bible-teaching church somewhere and jump in where a church ministers in the Word and in the Spirit, and they're going to find a place to plug in and grow, because that's just the heart of God. So if you have friends that are disconnected, I really want to encourage you to forward this message. I also want to encourage you guys to write down a few notes. There's some really key, epic things on how to turn your Sundays into a Super Soul Sunday, or how to make sure your Sundays are a Super Soul Sunday where God can do super work in your soul. So if you're a note taker, I encourage you to put these on the bulletin or write these in your phone. But these are really key steps to make sure your Sundays are Super Soul Sundays and you don't just miss out on what God's doing. The first one is this. God designed super things to happen to you on Sundays. God designed super things to happen to you on Sundays. And if you miss them, you miss out on a lot. And we see this in the Bible. We see this historically in the book of Acts. We also see it modeled in Jesus' life, that God designed super things to happen to you on Super Sundays. I've been serving God in ministry for over 25 years. I can tell you unequivocally, I've seen a pattern. And many of you that have been in ministry for a long time, you've probably seen the same pattern. And here is the pattern. Those who are committed to God and God's ways, including Sundays, including the local church, wherever that is, getting together like believers have for 2,000 long years, they've been committed to assembling on a Sunday. We're going to unpack that in a minute. But those who do tend to thrive in their life, and they become overcomers in their situations. They tend to have the tools, the family, the relationships, the resources, the teaching of Scripture, the encouragement through friends. They have the prayer support and everything they need for life and godliness, and they tend to do better and be more successful and be more victorious in all things in life. On the other hand, there are those who do not commit to any kind of Super Sunday. They show up once or twice a year, once in a while, whenever they feel like it. And I've seen again and again that people in that category tend to always be fighting and struggling to get back where they need to be. And it's like an uphill fight all the time. And it's because they're not in the family of believers. They don't have that fellowship. They don't have that prayer support. They're not in the Word every week. They're not in worship together where we actually meet with God through our praise. Literally, they're not encountering God. They might like the idea of it, but they're not doing it. So God designed Super Soul Sundays to do super things for you and in you. If you, in fact, commit to them. That's really, really important. And so if you have your Bible, if you can open to Matthew 12, we're looking at, this is where we left off last week. We're picking up in Matthew, 2 weeks ago we left off here. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses in 1 and 14, 1 through 14, and we're going to move through it kind of quickly. The context is this, that Jesus is clarifying what the Sabbath is all about. Everybody say Sabbath. How many of you know how to say Sabbath in our Saturday in Spanish? How do you say it on the count of three? One, two, three. Sábado. Sábado. Sabbath. Sábado. Sabbath. Okay, so this is in Scripture. You know, I love that about Spanish language. It's close to the Greek and the Latin, and so there's a lot of things that translate quickly. So the Sabbath is called Sábado, and this is what it historically was through Israel. It was always God worked for 6 days and made the universe, and on the seventh day rested. And so we see that the seventh day, Sabbath, was the Sabbath throughout history. And Jesus is going to clarify some things about the Sabbath, that the seventh day God rested. And I want to just tell you, this idea, this principle, that the seventh day is different. Tell someone next to you, the seventh day is different. Okay. This principle about God taking a day and saying this day is different, this principle has been going on since the beginning of creation. This is, listen, it's God's idea. It's not man's idea. The Sabbath principle is God's idea. It's not man's idea. And this is important because people think, well, church, well, people made that up. That's man-made religion. And everyone goes off on this little tangent about what church is and man-made religion. And, you know, I like God, but I don't like church. And everyone's got a lot of stuff flowing around, excuses. I just want to encourage you. This is God's idea. It's God's idea that it is good for you to take this day and to lock in with Him, to rest and to grow with Him. And that's what that is. We also know from history that the Sabbath changed from Sabado, Saturday, to Sunday in the book of Acts. Jesus rose on resurrection. What day? Resurrection?
Sunday.
Jesus rose on resurrection Sunday. The day of Pentecost, which many would say is the day the church was born, when the Spirit came and the church came alive and came out from behind closed doors and went public and grew and spread. Pentecost was on a Sunday. And we see that in the book of Acts over and over again. A number of scriptures we see in the book of Acts as well as in Corinthians and other places that ever since Jesus rose on a Sunday and ever since the church was born really on Pentecost Sunday, that the early church got together on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week. So we see again and again in scripture that the church would get together on the first day of the week, Sunday. And so all the believers who believed in Jesus Messiah, even the Jewish believers who believed in Jesus Messiah, they said our new celebration day is the day our Messiah came, rose from the dead, the day the church was born. And that's when they met. And they got together regularly, weekly, for the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. These key things are essential to your life, and you cannot thrive without them. The apostles' teaching, we spend time in Scripture every week. We have to, because God's Word's alive, and it gives life. It reveals things. It exposes things. It shows us dimensions that we can't even imagine on our own. So God gives us clarity, gives us wisdom, gives us discernment, and we get to know His heart, the apostles' teaching. The fellowship. There's so many people that they're going through life in a big city, and they're so lonely, even in a city like L.A. And God's like, listen, my church is the answer to that, because there's true like-mindedness, at least in spiritual things, and we find familia, we find community, we find that's what the church is supposed to be. So there's apostles teaching, there's fellowship, breaking the bread, whether that's a Starbucks after service with a donut out there, or going to lunch with somebody after, but it's also breaking the bread when we do communion together, which we do regularly here, and prayer. There's prayer opportunities after every service, every need, any burden you have in your life, to receive prayer to God, change things. And yet there are people going through their life and their Sundays are not Super Soul Sundays because they're missing out on the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And that's why there's not a transformation on the inside and it starts affecting things on the outside. So Jesus is about to clarify this right here, and that's what's going on. But let me ask you this. Is the Sabbath still required? We know in the Old Testament God gave the Ten Commandments, right? And we look at the commandments and we go, well, wait a second, how many here, a lot of Christians say, well, we're under grace? Raise your hand if you heard this one, right? We're under grace. Okay, so we're under grace. So, good question. What do we do with the Old Testament? We throw it away? Do we reference it? Do we look at it? What do we hold to? What do we not? Let me even simplify it even further. What about the Ten Commandments? Did the Ten Commandments go away? Did the Ten Commandments stay? They stay. Okay, now here's something about the Ten Commandments. Let's go through them. And if you agree that this commandment, say yes really loud. If you agree to the commandment. Okay, we have a visual for the screen. I'm not going to do them in order. I'm going to do the short ones first to make it easy, okay? Short ones first. Just like taking a test at school, you do the short ones first. Okay, first one. I'm the Lord your God. You should have no other gods before me. Yes? Okay, I agree with you. You shall not make any idols. You guys agree?
Yes.
Okay. You should not misuse the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Honor your mother and father. Let's go to that.
Yes.
That got a little lower. Some of y'all are disrespecting out there. Honor your mother and father.
Yes.
Okay. Do not murder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right? Obvious, right? How about don't commit adultery?
Yes.
Okay, very good. You shall not steal.
Yes.
What about don't give false testimony?
Yes.
What about don't cover your neighbor's house, wife, or property? Wait, do you want your neighbor covered in your house, wife, and property?
No.
Okay, so is this bad?
Yes.
Okay, well, remember the Lord's Sabbath.
Yes.
Did you hear what just happened? Did you hear what just happened? I think you guys heard what happened. We know don't kill and don't take the Lord's name in vain and no idols, of course. Yes, raw, of course. And as we go down the list and coveting, yeah, we kind of look at the neighbor's car and go, wish I had that. He's got a better house or whatever. You start going, but then you get down to The Sabbath holy? That's my day. That's my day. That's when I sleep in. That's when I go play soccer. That's when I go fishing. That's when I go hunting. That's when I go, you know, racing. That's when I go watch football. Isn't this what ladies says? Maybe that's when you go shopping. And I want to tell you, something is happening to the church right now. And a lot of it revolves around this commandment right here, this fourth commandment of keeping holy the Sabbath. Because we don't put it on the level of the other ones. In fact, there's been statistics done, not only in America, but around the world and in Europe and other places. And statistics show that this particular commandment is the lowest by far on the list of all believers around the world. Did you know that? This commandment is the lowest one out of these 10 commandments. They put it way down here, just like we did in the room. Yes, yes, yes. Sabbath, yeah, I guess. We do the same thing. It's funny how we do that. Our culture places a lower value on what God says about Sabbath. God says it's holy, but believers don't really believe it is. Or believers have forgotten that it is. Or believers have forgotten that it should be holy because God says it. Second point this morning, if you're note taker, is this. Super Soul Sunday starts by keeping my Sabbath holy. That's how it starts. If you don't choose, you chose because you're here this morning, so I'm a little bit preaching to the choir. But if you don't choose to make Sunday different God's way, historically the way the church is, you miss out on the entire principle of Super Soul Sunday and all the life that comes out of it. And it's just lined up at the heart of God. How many of you guys know if you seek, God says, if you seek me first, I will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you guys know that to be true? Listen, if you seek him first. If God is saying Sunday is different, in fact, how many of you know it's called the Lord's Day? It's the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, Scripture calls it the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, when you do what God says with it, by putting him first, by honoring, you rest, you're not working, and you're seeking him in the morning, at least you come and praise and get in the word, and then take a leisurely afternoon, whatever that looks like to you. We're not going to be legalistic and overcook that, but you know, we're not going to be a bunch of Pharisees and put rules on that. I don't think Scripture does, but all I'm saying is the day is different. According to God, it's different. And Super Soul Sunday starts by keeping my Sabbaths holy, and that means to keep it, to maintain it, to make it happen. Holy means to keep it set apart. It's different from the other days. It is not the same as the other days. It's set apart. It's different. It's where we rest and where we honor God. And listen to this. If God says that I can get all of my work done in 6 days, who am I to say that I can't? Listen, God says 6 days you shall work. On the seventh you can rest. That means you can be doing 8-hour days, 10-hour days, 12-hour days. You might even be doing 14-hour days. 6 days a week, according to Scripture. But on the seventh one, And there's so many statistics proven on this one. World War II. I think it was Mercury making boats for the war effort. And they said more hours a day, more hours a day. We're out of work Saturdays. Pretty soon these guys are working Sundays, making boats for the war effort during World War II. All industry turned to the war effort. And in this process, the president of the plant just said to the government, so please, please, can you give us Sunday off? And they said, no, we got to meet quota in production. They said, listen, if you would give us Sunday off so our people can have a Sabbath rest, we promise you we'll meet all the quotas you want. Sure enough, they gave them the Sunday off, and then people came back to work so fired up and recharged that production actually went way higher in 6 days than it ever did in seven. And God will do the same in your life. If you put him first, if you honor his ways, Sunday can be Super Soul Sunday for you and do what God says it will do. 2,000 years, this is what the apostles were doing. We have a graphic also for Hebrews chapter 9. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4:9. It says, there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. I believe we have a graphic for that. There remains a Sabbath. This is New Testament. There remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. So don't just think, well, that's Old Testament and New Testament. I just do whatever I think and feel. Most of our culture thinks that way. I will do whatever I think and feel with my Sunday. It's my Sunday. I would encourage you, it's the Lord's Day. And I would encourage you, God said that one's different. And God would say, if you would set it apart for me, you would put me first and you would honor that day and you'd commit to it, watch what I will do. I will do some Super Soul stuff inside of you. Super Soul Sunday. So anyway, jump into the passage. Jesus set it up that way. And it starts in verse 1 and says this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did and his companions when they were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." So on the Sabbath, the disciples are together with Jesus. They're with Jesus. They're not out fishing on the Sabbath. They're together with Jesus on the Sabbath. So it's just interesting to note the disciples are with Jesus on the Sabbath. And Jesus and the disciples are on their way to the synagogue. Essentially, they're on their way to church. You guys ever think about Jesus going to church? Jesus is going to church right here in this passage. Him and his crew, him and the boys, him and the posse, all the believers, the disciples are on their way to church. That's what they're doing. They're with Jesus on their way to church. And it says, as they were on their way, they walked through the grain fields. They were hungry, so they ate some. And the Pharisees were watching. Now, here's a problem with religion and being religious. We have a relationship with God where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom and there is a liberty in Christ. But religion are oftentimes rules and structures that people build to connect with God. But God's way was sending his Son down to us because we can't build anything to him. You guys realize that? We can't build our way to God. But religion tries to. They put steps and rules, and along the way they get very critical. And that's what tends to happen with religion over time. But the Pharisees were watching people, and they were finding fault with people. And I will tell you, the only people in Scripture that Jesus condemns are the religious. The religious who are looking to find fault with others. He finds people in total crazy levels of sin. He's like, "Look, don't stay that way. That's ridiculous. Turn and follow me." But he doesn't sit there and bash them and point out their stuff. And he does with the Pharisees because they think they're perfect and they're criticizing other people. So the Pharisees in this passage right here are finding fault with Jesus' disciples. And Jesus is saying, "Listen, guys, stop condemning people. That's not what the synagogue, that's not what the church is made for. The leaders aren't in the church. The people in the church are not supposed to condemn and criticize people and find fault and look what's wrong. That's not what we're here for." Jesus says, "Listen, I desire mercy. Desire mercy, not sacrifice." How many of you know that there are people who don't go to the church, and the reason they don't go to any church anywhere is they have this idea in their mind, they're pretty convinced that the church is judgmental? How many? This scripture right here is what Jesus is saying. That people should never find a judgmental church. Jesus never authored a judgmental church. It doesn't mean we make an excuse for sloppy living. We turn, we follow Jesus, we throw off the stuff that's entangling us. But in the meantime, we don't point out everyone's stuff, and they're not pointing out. We're walking that way, right? And so what happens in this religious environment is these guys are pointing out everyone's sin. And who even wants to go to that? Jesus is like, "Listen, guys, you're missing the whole point. I desire mercy. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Stop condemning people." And then he also, he tells him how, David ate the temple bread, which God had mercy on him because there's a bigger thing going on. And that the priests, every day they minister in the temple, they're working technically on the Sabbath. So that's a whole other thing. And so he goes on in verse 6 and 8 and says some profound things. In verse 6, he says, "Something greater than the temple is here." And at that point, you could hear a pin drop. The Pharisees were like cringing. You know that sound of nails on the chalkboard? When Jesus said this, they're like, "What did he just say?" And they're going to hold on to this statement. And they're going to go back and report to the religious leaders of Jerusalem. And they're going to try to later crucify Jesus because of this exact statement. "You are saying that you're greater than the temple." Yes, God's Son is. How many know God's Son is greater than the temple? The temple, this is the third temple, by the way. There's a first one knocked down, second one knocked down, the third one knocked down. God's Son is greater than the temple. God's Son is still alive. Jesus is alive. He's called the living God for a reason. He will never leave or forsake you. He's greater than the temple. And that's what he said. And then verse 8, he said, "Listen to this. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Say, "Lord of the Sabbath." He's the Lord of the Sabbath. That means he is Lord over the Sabbath. So if you're a note taker, write this down because this is important. You believe Jesus is Lord. I trust that. That's why you're here today. Do you believe he's the Lord of the Sabbath?
Yes.
Do you believe he's the Lord of the Sabbath?
Yes.
Okay, now, do you believe he is the Lord of your Sabbath?
Yes.
That's what you got to check. And the point number three this morning is Jesus needs to be Lord of my Sabbath, because he says he's the Lord of the Sabbath. But the question is he the Lord of my Sabbath? And that's where you find believers all over the place, and you have friends and family and people you work with and neighbors who call themselves believers, but they don't go to church anywhere, but they don't really know that Jesus is saying, listen, if I'm Lord, let me be Lord of your Sabbath. They're not, they don't even know that. They're not hearing that. They're still doing life their own way, disconnected from God's word, God's heart, God's aim, God's direction. They're missing out on a Super Soul Sunday. And there's such a beautiful diversity of Christian churches that are teaching the word in our city. We have the second biggest city in the nation, guys. There's a lot of choices out there. If you have friends, there's no excuse to not find a church. Pray your way, ask, seek, and knock, and God will find you a home, a place to plug in, a place to grow. But everyone needs a Super Soul Sunday in a local faith community. It says this in Mark 2:27. In the same parallel passage that we're reading in Matthew, Jesus is speaking this same conversation in Mark, and this is an added scripture in Mark 2:27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, I did not make you for the Sabbath, but listen, I made the Sabbath for you. Jesus is saying, the reason I made the Sabbath, the reason the Sabbath was even made, the reason why God had it on his heart in the first place is not for you to have a rule to follow. The reason I made the Sabbath is for you, because it's good for your soul, because you can have a Super Soul Sunday if you take one. And if you don't take a Sabbath, you won't have a Super Soul Sunday. Watching a Super Bowl game doesn't, how many go into work Monday going, man, I'm so recharged, man, that was awesome, day after a Super Bowl. Doesn't happen. In fact, people call in sick because they can't even wake up the next day. So there's nothing really recharging about a Super Bowl, but a Super Soul Sunday will renew you. He will renew your strength like wings of eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint if you have a Super Bowl Sunday and you do it God's way. That's really, really important. He says, I didn't make you for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for you. Fourth point to write down this morning is this. Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for me. That's what Jesus says. It's not Pastor B saying that. It's not just the position of this church. It's not just some religious rule that somebody made up somewhere. No, this is the heart of God. You need to know that. Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for me. It was made for you. Take that personal. Take it personal that he made it for you. And take it personal that he's saying, if I'm Lord, can I also be the Lord of your Sabbath? Because that's his words. That's Jesus' words. And then it goes on in verse 9. It says this. Going from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So Jesus steps into the synagogue, the local church essentially in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus breaking a law. Again, whenever a church is focused on looking at what people are doing wrong, we're missing the entire heart of God. It's not going to be a place people want to come. It's not going to be a place that sinners are welcome to come. It's going to be a place that everyone's critical and phobic about what we're supposed to be, and that is not what a Super Soul Sunday is about. That's what was happening in this scene. They're trying to catch people breaking the law. And the topic is healing. The topic is healing. And they saw healing as work. They saw healing as work. Almost if you got down and bandaged somebody up and straightened their leg out, they would look at that critically as work, and they would really overcook what God's command was, and they would take it even further with their own rules, and they would see that as work. But Jesus says it's always good to do good on the Sabbath, and I believe on a Super Soul Sunday a lot of good happens in God's house. A lot of good happens, including prayer requests that you might have. God gives revelation. He brings wisdom. He brings discernment. We encounter him. A lot of good happens on a Sabbath. But Jesus says to this man, stretch out your hand. And the man believed the words of Jesus, and the man stretched out his shriveled hand based on the words of Jesus, and his hand was completely restored, because the words of Jesus have power, but also our faith in the words of Jesus has power. And that's what we see right there. They were restored. It literally means in Greek to be made new again. Listen to this. In the Greek, this is the definition of this word. You look it up in the concordance. The word restored in Greek is to be made new again in health, in home, and in organization. How many of you guys feel like you need to be made new in health, or in home, or in organization? Anybody? These things happen on Super Soul Sundays. There's things. Remember the statistics that homes are even better, and children do better, and marriages do better, and health does better. And God resettles us for the week when we stop and we rest with Him. He settles us. He gives us disposition and approaches that we need. He gives us wisdom. And your whole week goes different when you really stop and honor God and have a Super Soul Sunday. So Jesus just finished saying, when we looked at Scripture 2 weeks ago, He said, "Come to me, all of you, if you're weary and have a heavy load, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul." Rest and restored have a similar root word. Restored has rest in it. And Jesus is like, if you come to me, you're going to find rest. You will get restored. You will be made new again in health and in home and in organization. I have more for you if you want to come and meet with me, if you want to stop and sit down with me. If you want to honor what God is saying and you want to let me be the Lord of your Sabbath, I will do these things for you on a Super Soul Sunday. And so the fifth point this morning is that is exactly that. Super Soul Sunday provides rest for your soul. It provides rest for your soul. Not only do we need to stop working on this day, but to just sit with the Lord. He just gives us rest. He gives us a peace that passes understanding. You could be going through stuff in life, but meeting with the Lord has a way of settling us in the heart, just giving us a conviction. And get to rest with the Lord. And restoration happens on Super Soul Sundays. Healing happens on Super Soul Sundays. I've been in church and in worship. I had the Lord speak to my heart or do things that I'm like, wow, God, you touched me right in the middle of worship. And it's probably because I'm in your house. And it's probably because I'm just meeting to honor you. But you shared something with me. Maybe spoke a word of revelation. Or maybe gave me peace in an area that I desperately needed. And I trust some of you have had the same experience. When you stop to encounter God and meet with Him, He honors those who honor Him. And so He does this kind of stuff on a Super Soul Sunday. He heals, He restores, He brings wisdom. The last scripture I want to share, and I'm going to do this one briefly, is Hebrews 10:24. You don't have to turn there, but we have it for the screen over here. And it says this. This is important. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. Say, spur one another on. Okay, let us, he's talking to the church, let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Listen, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some translations use a different phraseology with this, and you know, it's pretty accurate. I mean, the way they look at this, some King James will say, don't forsake the gathering. And they're talking about on the Sabbath, the Sunday Sabbath of the early church, how believers were getting together for a Super Soul Sunday, committed to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Their lives were changing. There was but however, some started to say, well, that's my day. That's my day. I'm going to work that day. I'm going to make extra money. I'm going to do whatever. Hey, listen, if you have to work on a Sunday, this is, don't be overly zealous. You find another day and make it your Sabbath. Okay? If you got another day and you have to work and your boss won't let you out, and that you find another day that you're going to sit down with the Lord, that you're going to rest, and you're going to sit in His presence, okay? That's what you got to do. But you don't skip one, and you don't get overly zealous on the day. The scripture is first day of the week, but you got to have one, because 6 days you shall work, the seventh you shall rest. And the church has been doing this for 2,000 years, but in the early church, there was even some folks that start to go, yeah, I think I'm going to play Palestinian football on that day. Or whatever it was. I'm going to do my own thing on that day. I'm going to go out fishing and see if I can catch something good. Don't forsake the gathering. Another translation says, don't neglect the habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Why is Scripture saying that? Because God knows great things happen. Paul, who likely wrote Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but could have been Paul. Great things happen when we get together. God does stuff on the inside. We get wisdom, we get revelation, we grow in knowledge and in grace, and all these things happen. And when people start taking the Sabbath back away from the Lord's day and make it their own day and just go off on a tangent to do what they want, they miss out on all these things super about Super Soul Sunday. And so, and when we're in weekly fellowship, listen, when we're in weekly fellowship, we do get encouraged. We do get spurred on to love and good deeds. And when we're not, we don't. We just do what we do in life, and we don't get reminded of what God is teaching us. So especially this says as the Lord's Day is approaching. Because what we're seeing is that we're living in a time right now, guys, where our culture has had a great effect on the church. It used to be for many years that the church had a great effect on culture. And right now the culture is having a great effect on the church, including our Sabbaths, including Sundays. When I was a kid, I played baseball. I played Little League. You know what our games were? Saturday. Always Saturday. Nowadays, most leagues, all the games are on a Sunday. But that's a choice. If you want to put your kid in a league where the game is on a Sunday, that's your choice. Don't blame it on the coach. Don't blame it on the system. If you put your kid in a league that's on Sunday, that's a choice you're making. Just acknowledge it. I'm not blaming you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not, you know, being overly zealous. I'm just saying, just call it what it is. It's the Lord's Day. He wants to be the Lord of my Sabbath. But kids' sports on Sunday is more important to me. That's all. Just call it what it is. Don't like go around it or call it something else. Same with us. If we say, yeah, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to skip that and I'm not going to sit in the Lord's presence, I'm going to do, call it what it is. Just call it what it is. But this is important, and this is our last couple of points today, guys. This is critical. How many of you know wrong is wrong even if everybody's doing it? How many of you know right is right even if nobody's doing it? Okay, that's scripture. Right is right even if nobody's doing it. Wrong is wrong even if everybody's doing it. There's a cultural trend going on in our country, even with going to church, that nowadays, according to the Barna statistics, people that consider themselves committed to Christ and really committed to Jesus and committed to the Bible, people who answer that question, on average, attend church about 1 or 1.5 times a month. Those who say they're committed. So there's been something that's happened to us where we look at all these commandments and we, with the Sabbath, we blow it off. And we're missing a Super Soul Sunday because our culture says, I got a different solution for you on Sunday. I got a different alternative for you on Sunday. And I would just encourage you, it's time to redeem and take back what God gave you. You weren't made for the Sabbath. It was made for you. That's God's idea. That's God's plan to restore your soul. That's God's plan to renew you. And so, sixth point this morning is this. Don't let culture determine your faith. Let your faith determine your culture. Don't let culture around us determine your faith. Let your faith determine your culture. And that is critical because that shifts it around. Say, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but as for me and my house. Come on, we're going to start. Y'all going to do what you're going to do. I'm not knocking you. I'm not dissing you. You guys do whatever you want to do. God bless you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because we weren't made for the Sabbath. It was made for us. And we're going to redeem what God gave us. We're going to get in on the renewal, the rest. We're going to get in on the revelation. We're going to get in on the blessing. And we're going to be one of those families that's on the upside of that list. Remember, even Wikipedia, look it up. Look up Sabbath and look at statistics it has for the Sabbath and church attendance on the Sabbath in Wiki, and you're going to go, wow, that's amazing, all that comes out of it. And that's not even talking about the deep spiritual soul things, it's talking about the periphery health benefits. And so that's amazing. And so the bottom line is, the last thing I want to share with you is this, and this is important, this would be great if the worship team comes up right now, but this is important. There are many people in our culture right now, you have friends, family, maybe you think this way as well. Tell me if this resonates with you. I love Jesus, but I don't really love the church. Anybody feeling that? Honestly, no one's going to, right? Look, okay. That is the most common answer, according to stats, of people who don't go to church that say they have a love for God, but they don't have a love for the church. And most people go, yeah, I get it, man. High five, chest bump. Yeah, love Jesus, but not the church. Many people might feel that way, and I understand, I'm not disrespecting the way they feel. Many people feel that way. But the Jesus they say they love feels completely different about the church. Did you know that? Jesus does not feel that way about the church. Jesus doesn't say, cool, you love me, but not my church. High five. Chest bump. That's awesome. Jesus is saying, no, actually, that's my bride you're talking about. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is Jesus' idea, not man's idea. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. Everybody say, my church. The first time it's used, even in Scripture, is Jesus saying, I'm going to actually build something, and it's going to be my church. On this rock of truth, I'm building my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. And then the bride after that is called, the body of Christ. We're the extension of him on earth. And we're also called the bride of Christ because he loved, he came, he died for the bride. He's coming back for the bride. So he looks at the bride with love. Think of a groom looking at a bride with love, being enamored and in love with the bride. That's how Jesus looked at the church. So when people go, yeah, well, I love Jesus, but not the church. I'm just, okay, work out whatever you got to work through. Forgive who you need to forgive, or work through what you got to work through. But the bottom line is we can't say, I love Jesus, but not his church, because Jesus is saying, that's my bride. Can you imagine going up to your friend of yours and say, hey, bro, I love you, man, but I don't love your bride. How far is that going to get you in the relationship? Think about it. Or ladies, your friend says, I love you, but I don't love your husband. I hate him. But you're awesome. Jesus is saying, that's my bride. And I only say that because a lot of people feel that way. I believe when they're dissing the church, they're dissing Jesus. They are, because Jesus, that's my bride. Don't get my bride. Now, granted, the church is flawed. We're a bunch of people that get together, and we come with our stuff, we come with our baggage, and we aim at God. And he's renewing us, he's sanctifying us, he's tuning us up along the way. But, you know, we're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's no perfect church. And if there were, the day that you and I show up, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. So there is no perfect church. But I want to encourage you, if you have friends, family members, who say, I love Jesus, but not the church, if you have friends and family members who aren't part of any local assembly on any kind of committed Sabbath at all, I want to encourage you, you take this video, forward it to them, or this message, or maybe you're the kind of one who you come once in a while, but you're not really, you know, you don't really commit to that. I just want to encourage you, pray about doing Sundays God's way. Let your Sabbath be a Super Soul Sunday. That's what God wants to do. The last point is exactly that. The seventh and final point is to help others discover what Super Soul Sunday is all about. Help them discover it, or maybe some of them help them rediscover, because they knew, but then they went through something. They got hurt along the way. And as a result, they're so far removed from the fanning into flame and the mutual edification, the apostles' teaching, the encouragement, the prayer, the things that happens in family, that happens in community of faith for 2,000 years. In the church, throughout the world, this has been going on. And some people are exempting themselves from God's plan. And they're missing out on a Super Soul Sunday. So I just want to close in prayer. Ask God to seal some of these things in our heart. Almighty God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of it. Lord, I just pray you begin to seal some of these things in our hearts, God, that you would begin to do a work in us, Lord God, just with our commitment to you. We love you, God, but I just pray we would get in on the fullness of what Super Soul Sundays are all about. And Lord, your word also says that it's good to do good on the Sabbath. So Lord, maybe some of us, if we've been just sitting and enjoying and listening in on messages and getting built up and encouraged, maybe it's time for us to serve once a month and help other people find rest for their souls. Help other people be blessed, whether we're blessing children or blessing with sound or blessing with all the other areas of hospitality and welcome table, Lord, or ushering, Lord, but whatever it might be, that we would graduate to a level, it's time to start doing some good on the Sabbath. I'm growing, but once a month, I'm going to want to do some good on the Sabbath. So Lord, show us what our next steps are. Show us how to encourage friends of ours who honestly believe that it's okay to say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church, and it's okay to stay in that place as an excuse for the rest of their life. Help us to encourage them back into your loving fold. Help us to encourage them back into the family of believers. No matter what church, it's a church that loves you, where people are real. And so, God, do great things in our lives. Do great things in our city, God. Change us from the inside out. We love you. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, because he's good all the time.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.